Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Sermon on the Mount gives us the ideal in morality, a deep, heartfelt desire to do the will of God and renounce sin. But none of us can keep this standard apart from outside help, the kind of help Jesus provides. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 as Erwin Lutzer brings more of a final message on the high cost of sexual purity.
Let's turn to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus talks about radical answers to sin questions. Radical answers to sin questions. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. This is what he said. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Yesterday, as I was thinking about this, I thought this is a universal indictment of human nature. Is there any human being that has not lusted? I don't know of any. If afterwards, the meeting, you come and you say you never have, I can't help you because there was a preacher who said that he can't help people who lie. So Jesus here is speaking here and having a very high standard. Now, the thing that we must keep in mind is that this doesn't mean that lust is equal to adultery any more than hatred is equal to murder, as if all sin is the same. That's not true at all. Ontologically, it's the same in the sense that they have to be forgiven and God hates all kinds of sin. But that is wrong for us to say one sin is equal to another. Of course it isn't. The Bible even talks about a sin unto death, and then it says, and there is a sin that is not a sin unto death. So it's wrong for us to think that way. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount clarifies that. He says, if you say this to your brother, the penalty is this, but if you say this, it is hellfire. So, but what Jesus is saying to the self-righteous Pharisees is this. Just because you pride yourself in not committing adultery, that doesn't mean that you're dealing with the core sin question, because God looks upon the heart. That's what Jesus is saying. So don't think of yourself as righteous. And what Jesus wanted the Pharisees of his day to realize, as we need to realize, is that what we really need is a redeemer. We need somebody to stand in for us. We need Jesus to meet all of God's requirements on our behalf so that we can be justified and so that we can be declared righteous despite our struggles for sin. It is Jesus Christ's obedience that is received by the Father that you and I have the privilege of getting in on when we trust him as our Savior and we believe in him as our Lord. It is then you see that we take care of it. And that's one of the things that Jesus wants to do in the Sermon on the Mount. He wants to so show us our sin that we cry up and say, I need a Savior. And certainly in this passage of Scripture, we do just that. Now we continue on, and Jesus said this, and he's still talking about the same subject. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Now Jesus here is speaking surgically and very radically, isn't it? You know, the word there, the phrase causes you to sin, that phrase actually in Greek has the idea of you're entrapped. We could almost use the imagery of you want to catch an animal, and so you dig a hole and then you put some leaves and branches over it, because what you want that animal to do is to step on it and then be entrapped. Jesus is saying whatever it is that is causing you to become entrapped, for men it is the eye, most assuredly. No matter how often we tell women that, I'm not sure that they fully understand it. But Jesus said, talked about the right eye. For women, it may be the gentle caresses of the hand. Jesus said, whatever you need to do. You say, well, he's not speaking literally, is he? Of course not. Of course he's not speaking literally. I mean, you could have your right eye cut out and still lust with your left, for example. So Jesus is not speaking literally, but what he is saying is literally true. It is better to go to heaven with one eye than to be in hell with two. So it's literally true. Jesus is saying in the strongest possible language, whatever it is that is causing you to stumble, take care of it. One day I was in my study meditating on this passage, and I asked myself the question, what would it actually be like to have your eye cut out or your hand cut off? Now, in a day when there was no anesthetic, could you imagine somebody coming with a knife and just taking your eye like this and cutting it out and your eye falls onto your lap? I would say that that would probably hurt. Or have your hand cut off. Number one, it is painful. Here are the implications. Number one, it is painful. But sometimes we have to make painful decisions for Jesus. I've counseled men who are in love with a woman who is not their wife. They say, you know, I've met my soulmate. I mean, we really connect. It is a beautiful relationship, they tell me, and I don't argue with that. It may be a beautiful relationship. Eve, in the Garden of Eden, when she looked at the fruit, she said, you know, it's a very beautiful, beautiful fruit on that tree. And it was beautiful. But God condemned it, and God said no. And no matter how much it hurts, no matter how deep the investment in sin, Jesus is saying, even if it is painful, stop it and do whatever you have to do to keep from falling into the same pit, Jesus is saying. So the first thing is, it's painful. Met a man who said, I'm falling in love with a woman at work who is not my wife. I said, change jobs. Well, I can't. I've got a wife and kids to look after. Now, think about that one. So what you're going to do is hook up with this lady and maybe in the end not worry so much about your wife and kids. Jesus said, whatever you need to do. Secondly, it is thorough. It's thorough. After you've had it done and, you know, your eye and your hand has been in a plastic bag for a week, awaiting some analysis by an expert, it's a little late to say, I don't know whether or not I should have done this. It's thorough. You know, it was Tozer, one of the great preachers, who said that it is the part that we rescue from the cross, the part that we rescue from the cross, that is really the seat of our troubles, Tozer said. And it's really true, isn't it? You've heard me say before that if you're going to jump across a chasm, it is much better to do it in one long jump than in two short ones. And when you deal with sin, you really have to deal with it thoroughly. As a matter of fact, when it comes to cancer, for example, if they're dealing with it surgically, you don't want to just have the cancer cut out. I think that you'd probably say to the doctor, cut a little bit beyond it because I want to make sure that you've got it all. Jesus said, whatever it is that is causing you to stumble, to go into sin, he's saying, do whatever you need to do. It is thorough. Third, it is worthwhile. It's worthwhile. Jesus said it's worthwhile because if it were so, it would be better indeed to arrive in heaven with one eye than to be in hell with two. It is worthwhile. The pain of breaking off relationships, the pain of dealing with issues deeply that keep causing us to sin, that pain is actually worth it in the end, absolutely. Imagine being whole. Imagine being free from your addiction so that you can interrelate with people. Imagine receiving, as it were, a new marriage because the issue that exists between the two of you has been taken care of. Just imagine that, Jesus is saying, and it is worth it. Some of you singles who want to justify immorality because you're single, Jesus would say, as you make a strong stand for purity and you choose the life of celibacy, it is tough, it's hard, But Jesus would say, you know what? It's worth it because I'm there with you. And it is better to go through your pain and your loneliness in fellowship with me than it is for you to live in sin and in the process hurt me, grieve me because of your sin. So Jesus is saying, do whatever you need to do. If you've been in this series of messages, you know that each time I've given an assignment. Every message had an assignment. And this time your assignment is called unplug. Unplug. You know, if it's TV that causes you to sin, unplug it for a week, for a month. Unplug it. Maybe unplug it permanently. I know at least of two men who have told me that they wouldn't have TV in their home because it just caused them to sin. You know, John Piper, a well-known pastor there in Minneapolis, he does not have a television set in his home. And I've heard other pastors or speak and say, well, you know, that's a little bit extreme. Well, maybe, but, you know, it would be better for him not to have a TV. If indeed, and I'm not saying this would be true of him because I admire him greatly, but it would be better for him not to have that than if the TV were to lead him into sin. Jesus is saying, get radical, unplug. Now, you know, if you need your internet because it's part of your work, fine, but join Covenant Eyes, where a friend of yours can track all of your sites that you visit on the web. And when you decide to unplug, tell somebody that you're unplugging for a week or whatever it is that you decide to do, or permanently, and so that they can check up on you and they can see whether or not you follow through. We are so weak. We need one another, and we need accountability. So you ask God, what do you want me to unplug? What is it that causes me to continue to fall into sin? Now, what I'd like to do is to give you three bottom lines as we wrap up this whole series, and each of them is very, very important. Number one, remember that God loves you just as much when you fail as he does when you succeed. God loves you. Well, my friend, it's important that you remember that. You know, when we fall into sin, we think to ourselves that God has turned his back on us. But even the guilt that we feel is actually God trying to put his arms around us. So I hope that no matter where you are at today, that you cast yourself on the Lord, that you trust him, that God continues to be important to you, and that through the Word you connect with him, and through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're coming to the end of a series of messages titled Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. In a moment, you'll be given some information as to how these messages can be yours. Share them with a friend. And by the way, each of the messages has an assignment. You can go to our website and find out what that assignment is. And if you want to connect with us and let us know that we've been a blessing, simply go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org. And next time, I conclude this particular series of messages. You have to hear the ending. Have a good day, all day.
Erwin Lutzer, with more on the high cost of sexual purity, the last of six messages in a series on Guard Your Heart. Next time, our series concludes. This six-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.